Good morning. A federal judge has dismissed Alaska's court challenge of the roadless rule for the national forest land. Alaska had the last remaining legal case against the 2001 nationwide rule, which prohibits new road construction, reconstruction, or logging on large undeveloped areas of national forest land across the country. That includes parts of the Tongass and Chugach National Forests in Alaska. U.S. District Court Judge Richard Leon ruled this month that the state missed a six-year deadline for mounting its legal challenge. Tom Waldo is an attorney with Earth Justice, a nationwide environmental law firm representing several environmental groups. Those groups joined the case to defend the roadless rule, and Waldo calls the latest decision a complete victory.
Not only is it too late for the state of Alaska to bring its case, but it's too late for anyone to challenge the roadless rule. The rule has withstood all of the legal challenges that have been brought against it, and it's too late for any more legal challenges. It's time to move on.
The rule affects over 58 million acres of forest land nationwide and was approved during the final days of the Clinton presidency. Democratic Governor Tony Knowles filed suit against application of the roadless rule in 2001. The Bush administration's Justice Department agreed to a settlement with Republican Governor Frank Murkowski and the state of Alaska in 2003. What followed was an exemption for the Tongass lasting from 2003 through 2011, when the roadless rule did not apply to the 17 million acre forest in southeast. A court threw out that Tongass exemption in 2011 and prompting the state's latest lawsuit. A timber industry group, the Alaska Forest Association, and other groups joined the state in its 2011 case brought by the Parnell administration. Executive Director Owen Graham says it's frustrating the sides could not even argue the merits of the case.
It's really frustrating that, the state made a settlement agreement with the government, to drop their roadless lawsuit in order to get the exemption, and then the judge says, well, you should have filed your lawsuit, kept your lawsuit going. I don't know how we do that, how the state would have done that and got the exemption at the same time. It just seems like a catch-22, but this was the judge's decision, so I'll let the state decide what they think the next step should be.
In an email, a spokesperson for Governor Sean Parnell wrote the state is very disappointed with the ruling and is considering its options. A Ketchikan man is in custody after allegedly stealing a pickup truck, speeding through Lemon Creek area and crashing the vehicle before school started yesterday morning. 22-year-old Darren Baines is being charged with vehicle theft, failure to stop a direction of a police officer, assault, driving with a revoked license, driving under the influence, and there was also an outstanding state warrant for Baines on a charge of escape. Police believe that he stole a GMC one-ton pickup from a residence on Ptarmigan Street in the valley sometime after 7:30 Sunday night. Just before 7 o'clock yesterday morning, callers to the Juneau Police Department reported the truck driving erratically on Egan Drive. An officer tried to stop the truck on Commercial Boulevard in Lemon Creek, but the truck turned around and fled the patrol vehicle at high speed. The officer did not pursue the vehicle. A short time later, another officer found the pickup crashed on Glacier Highway near the intersection with Alloway Avenue, near the police station and not far from Santikahini Middle School. A passenger in the truck, a 17-year-old Huna girl, was released to a guardian. Both she and Baines suffered minor injuries. They were treated at the scene by EMTs from Capital City Fire and Rescue. Baines was later taken to Bartlett Regional Hospital and then Lemon Creek Correctional Center to await arraignment. A reduction in funding for an Alaska State Trooper Sex Trafficking Investigation Unit has a high-profile critic, First Lady Sandy Parnell. She appeared before the Senate Finance Committee on Saturday to ask them to reconsider the public safety budget. It was her first time testifying before lawmakers. A subcommittee recommended stripping more than $800,000 from the governor's budget because troopers did not investigate any trafficking crimes last year. The First Lady found that wanting.
The reason given for cutting the funding, however, is exactly why the funding is needed, because sex trafficking is a hidden crime that must be unearthed by investigators. Its victims do not self-report. We have lots of sexual assault case investigations initiated after a report is made, but in commercial sex industry cases, this doesn't happen. These girls are under the extreme control of their traffickers, both physically and mentally.
Parnell said state troopers have limited experience in recognizing signs of sex trafficking, and victims may not even realize what's happening to them.
The girls' identification and cell phones are taken. They are physically threatened and abused, and sadly, the girls have bonded with their captors. Beyond that, these are underground crimes that are not easily seen or recognized.
Reducing sex trafficking has been a key issue for both the governor and the first lady as part of the Choose Respect initiative. The Senate Finance Committee canceled yesterday's hearing to take up amendments to the $9.9 billion operating budget. It's now scheduled for 9 o'clock this morning. Money for the Sex Trafficking Investigations Unit is in the House version of the operating budget. Differences between the two documents will have to be reconciled in a conference committee. Spring cleaning for the city of Juneau begins with water valves. The annual flushing event started early this morning in the downtown business district of Juneau, and crews will work their way toward the Highlands, across the bridge to Douglas, and back to Juneau and out to the valley, finally ending in T Harbor. It's expected to take until June to finish cleaning out the lines. While the flushing is underway in your neighborhood, you may see a brownish tint to the water. Wait until the utility crew is done with its work and then run the cold tap until the water runs clear. And Alaska Tsunami Warning Center system to be tested as part of Tsunami Preparedness Week. The test will occur sometime between 9:45 and 10:15 tomorrow morning, and if it works, it will be heard or seen on radio or TV stations around the state and on NOAA Weather Radio. Some video messages may not specify that tomorrow's message is a test, although the audio will be clear that it is only a test. Paul Whitmore is director of the West Coast and Alaska Tsunami Warning Center in Palmer.
We'll send out a dummied up tsunami warning message from here. I won't say tsunami warning, but just it'll have all the correct header information so that the downstream entities, the Weather Forecast Office in Anchorage and Juneau, the State of Alaska Division of Emergency Services, will take that and turn that into a live emergency alert system activation using the same codes that we would use during a regular tsunami warning. And so that tests basically the plumbing of the system all the way through from generation here at the Warning Center to activation at the forecast offices and then through propagation through the broadcasters and the emergency alert system.
That test after 9:45 tomorrow morning will be canceled if there is a real earthquake or series of earthquakes or tsunami activity already underway. Tsunami Preparedness Week's activities include a tsunami exercise that municipalities, agencies, and other organizations can participate in and an open house at the Palmer Center Saturday afternoon. Weather forecast for the capital city today calls for some cloudy skies, scattered rain and snow showers. High about 40 degrees with some rain showers this evening, then isolated snow showers late tonight. Temperatures today between 22 and 40 degrees with a slight chance of rain and snow for tomorrow with temperatures between the high 20s and high 30s. Currently at the Juneau Airport, 35 degrees, and Alaska Airlines says flights are pretty much on schedule this morning. I'm Matt Miller, and that's a look at news and weather for this half hour. Good morning. I'm Matt Miller with this update of local and state headlines. A 62-year-old Nenana artist charged with illegally selling and exporting Alaska animal parts has reached a plea deal with federal prosecutors. Miles Martin on Friday in federal court agreed to plead guilty to four felony counts and to refrain from business related to wildlife. The deal calls for a jail sentence of 6 to 10 months in jail and a fine of over $6,700. A Thorn Bay man has been charged with misdemeanor assault after he allegedly fought with a village public safety officer. 29-year-old Tucker Thompson was charged in the Friday incident just outside of Thorn Bay. Alaska State Troopers say the officer responded to reports of a man acting erratically in the woods and screaming at trees. The officer, who has not been named, attempted to put handcuffs on Thompson when a fight began. The officer eventually used a stun gun. Troopers say the officer received a cut to his hand during the struggle, and alcohol was a contributing factor in the incident. Alaska State Troopers, relatives, and others attended a memorial service for Thomas Madol, the village public safety officer who was killed in Manicotic last week. The service was held Sunday at an Anchorage church. Authorities say the 54-year-old VPSO was shot and killed March 19th. 42-year-old Leroy Dick Jr. is charged with first-degree murder in Madol's death. A Barrow lawmaker may return to Juneau as early as today as after being medically transported for heart issues last week. Representative Benjamin Nagyak in a statement said he's blessed to be alive and thanked his family and staff for pestering him to see a doctor despite his initial protests. Nagyak on Thursday met with doctors who encouraged him to seek treatment in Anchorage and arranged a medical transport. In Anchorage, doctors discovered blockages in his heart and two stents were put in place.
I know I'm preaching to the choir here.
The more than 30 speakers at yesterday's Save Our Schools hearing were preaching to the choir. That is the House and Senate Democrats in the legislature who called it to bolster their fight for increased public school funding. Minority members say they've been getting hundreds of emails and other comments from frustrated parents, teachers, school administrators, and education boards asking for the same. They want money for pre-kindergarten programs, inflation proofing for the base student allocation, or BSA, and no constitutional amendment to allow public dollars to flow to religious and private schools. Anchorage parent Matt Johnson spoke at the end, summing up two hours of testimony.
I would second and concur with 99.99% of the folks I've heard testify here that we really need to fully fund our public schools and our pre-K early learning programs. I don't think money is always the bottom line, but I think it's a proven fact that early education saves everybody money, saves our state money, saves our society money. I strongly oppose any voucher system for our public schools and strongly oppose any tinkering with our Alaska Constitution. And finally, I would say that I believe we are one of the wealthiest states in the Union, if not the wealthiest. What kind of a people can't fund their public education system, but can hand over billions to the oil companies?
Johnson was alluding to the bill moving through the legislature that would reduce taxes on Alaska's oil producers. The latest fiscal note indicates the state would lose between $4.5 and $5.8 billion in revenue through the year 2019. Only two speakers at yesterday's hearing took the opposite stance, including John Thomas of the MATSU. He agrees with many in the Republican-led legislature who say public schools aren't wisely using the money they get.
The answer is throw money at it. Throw money at it. The children. Education is untouchable. This is our primary responsibility. We've tried it that way for decades, people. Now it's time to tighten our belts and get with the program.
Democrats are a small caucus in the legislature, and their Republican colleagues did not attend yesterday's event. And Democrats' legislation to inflation-proof the base student allocation is not moving. The BSA is the formula used to calculate the per-student cost of education. It's remained at $5,680 since fiscal year 2011. According to the Legislative Finance Division, the BSA would be worth $5,569 in the upcoming fiscal year because of inflation. Republican chairman of the House and Senate Education Committees say proposed increases in education funding are not likely to gain traction in these last 3 weeks of the legislative session. Weather forecast for the capital city area calls for some cloudy skies and some scattered rain and snow showers for today. High about 40 degrees. Low tonight, a little chilly in the 20s with some isolated snow and rain showers for late tonight, and then some rain and snow expected for tomorrow with temperatures between 29 and 38 degrees. Pretty much the same story for Hoonah and Gustavus with scattered rain and snow showers for most of the day today. High temperature about 41 degrees. Currently 33 degrees in the Mendenhall Valley. I'm Matt Miller, and that's a look at news and weather for this half hour. Good morning. I'm Matt Miller with this update of local and state news. The Alaska Legislature has passed a resolution calling upon the U.S. Food and Drug Administration to further investigate the effects of producing genetically engineered salmon. House Joint Resolution 5 by Representative Garantara of Anchorage also asks the federal government to require labeling genetically modified salmon if it is to be sold. The Senate passed the resolution yesterday on a unanimous vote. It passed the House last month. The resolution is in line with concerns that have been raised by Alaska's congressional delegation. FDA has released a draft finding that a genetically modified salmon that grows twice as fast as normal is unlikely to harm the environment. The draft assessment said it did not take into account the social, economic, and cultural effects of introducing modified salmon into the marketplace. A reduction in funding for an Alaska State Trooper Sex Trafficking Investigation Unit has a high-profile critic, First Lady Sandy Parnell. She appeared before the Senate Finance Committee on Saturday to ask them to reconsider the public safety budget. It was her first time testifying before lawmakers. A subcommittee recommended stripping more than $800,000 from the governor's budget because troopers did not investigate any trafficking crimes last year. First Lady found that wanting.
The reason given for cutting the funding, however, is exactly why the funding is needed, because sex trafficking is a hidden crime that must be unearthed by investigators. Its victims do not self-report. We have lots of sexual assault case investigations initiated after a report is made, but in commercial sex industry cases, this doesn't happen. These girls are under the extreme control of their traffickers, both physically and mentally.
Parnell says state troopers have limited experience in recognizing signs of sex trafficking, and victims may not even realize what's happening to them.
The girls' identification and cell phones are taken. They are physically threatened and abused, and sadly, the girls have bonded with their captors. Beyond that, these are underground crimes that are not easily seen or recognized.
Reducing sex trafficking has been a key issue for both the governor and the first lady as part of the Choose Respect initiative. The Senate Finance Committee canceled yesterday's hearing to take up amendments to the $9.9 billion operating budget. It's now scheduled for 9 o'clock this morning. And money for the Sex Trafficking Investigations Unit is in the House version of the operating budget. Differences between the two documents will be reconciled in a conference committee. This time of year, March Madness thrusts basketball into a spotlight across the country, but in Southeast Alaska, fans are focused a little closer to home. As part of an ongoing series looking at culture in Alaska, the Alaska Public Radio Network visited the Juneau Lions Club's 67th annual gold medal tournament. Teams from Sitka, Metlakatla, Juneau, Hoonah, Wrangell, Angoon, Klukwan, Yakutat, Cake, Haines, and Heidelberg competed against each other. And as Scott Burton found, they play as much for the community as for the game.
It's a Wednesday afternoon, and the Juneau Douglas High School gymnasium is full. In Division C, roughly ages 32 through 42, 7-year defending champ Cake is playing Heidelberg. Tournament co-chair and player Edward Koch from Klukwan says it's for more than just the basketball.
They come back every year so they could meet their friends from other communities because it's so hard for people to travel around in Southeast. Some of them come and barter with each other for native foods. We have a lot of people that are out in the commons selling their beadwork. They reminisce about old times, the old-timers do, and the younger ones watch and say, I'm going to be like them when I get older.
Koch guesses that 95% of the players are Alaska Native. It's all about the economics.
Since it's a fundraiser, the communities with the biggest crowds are the ones that get invited because we need the crowd to come in, and that's how we get our money to give to other people.
And when a team from a village plays, much of the village comes with them.
A long time ago in the villages, there really wasn't a lot to do, but they had A&B and A&S camps, so they built big halls, and they used the halls as gymnasiums. And that's where people gathered to burn some energy, and they just got to be real competitive in basketball, and they used to take seine boats from village to village so they can compete.
One of the guys who used to take a seine boat to play is Hall of Famer William Bean. He's on the top bleacher of the Cake cheering section. He's watching his son, point guard Rudy Bean.
All the old-timers say Rudy plays exactly like his dad, and I take that as a real good compliment because he'll run up 50 points if you let him.
William's wife, Lucille, is holding their grandson, Rudy's 2-year-old son, Isaiah, who is evidently already dribbling and shooting. William won his first championship in 1966 and watches the game intently. Cake's 7-year reigning championship status is being threatened by a highly competitive Heidelberg. The play is intense, but so is the sportsmanship. Many opposing players help each other off the floor and shake hands after fouls.
Interplay between the different towns and the competition, trying to outdo one another by playing the game of basketball is a lot of fun.
As a Hall of Famer, he's given a lot of himself to the game, but he says it's taught him too.
It got me to realize that as you live your life, just like the game of basketball, people are watching you. And so when we play, I tell my boy, you know, you're playing in front of people. It's showtime. You got to conduct yourself like it, in such a manner as you're entertaining the people. So train hard, be a good athlete, and the people will enjoy watching you.
And that's become as much a part of the culture in Southeast as anything else. Despite some valiant efforts by Cake, Heidelberg wins comfortably. Unfortunately for Cake and Rudy, their reign comes to an end. Heidelberg's Hall of Fame center, Sid Edenshaw, gives credit to some young new speed on his team and humbly ignores his own part in the win.
Well, of course, it keeps me in good health, and that helps. But I made a lot of friends up in the northern communities, and just to come up here and get together and see friends from since 1983. I got a ton of friends here from all the villages.
Friends, good health, community, and competition, all to raise money for those in need. Sounds like a good game. For APRN, I'm Scott Burton in Juneau.
Heidelberg C lost to Hoonah in Saturday night's championship game, and Angoon won Division B, and Klukwan won the Masters Division. APRN's series on culture in Alaska is sponsored by the Alaska Humanities Forum. Scattered rain and snow showers in the forecast for today, with temperatures between the mid-20s and very low 40s for Gustavus, Hoonah, and Juneau for today, and a slight chance of rain and snow for tomorrow as well. Currently in the capital city, 35 degrees downtown Juneau and 35 degrees at the Juneau Airport. I'm Matt Miller, and that's a look at news and weather for this half hour.